Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, go to our website, KFUO.org, and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me by phone, Adrian Hines. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you today?
I'm enjoying what little bit of sunshine we have here on the other side of the state in Missouri. I'll take it.
Well, glad to have you as our guest today. Adrian, share with our listeners a little bit about your work with LCMS, LCMS Communications, and we'll get to Eyes of Life here in just a moment.
Sure. My primary work is with the Lutheran Witness, so I serve as the managing editor of our church body's main and official magazine. So I get to spend a lot of time working with authors and topics and that sort of thing. And then I also edit the Journal of Lutheran Mission, which is our LCMS sort of academic journal, which talks about our mission work both at home and abroad and all the exciting opportunities that are available there.
And so how did you get involved in this Eyes of Life project? What's your role in the Eyes of Life project?
I'm serving as the main writer at this point, getting to tell the stories of the people that we're featuring in Eyes of Life. I'm on the LCMS Life Committee, and so I think I probably got wrangled into doing it because of that. But I enjoy writing. I love writing, and I am very passionately pro-life. I have a young daughter who's about 8 months old, and being able to tell her that I worked on this project, that I was able to contribute to something that is so pro-family, so pro-child, so pro-life in all of its forms is something that's really important to me. And I think that's one of the best parts about this campaign is that it's very positive in a sense. We're not here to talk about all the things that we're against or that we have concerns about or that we have fears about, but we're here to talk about the things that we're for. We're for life in all of its forms, from conception to natural death. We're for babies, we're for families, we're for people in their later ages of life, you know, seasoned people who are seeing their life come to an end. And so it's really been a treat and a true pleasure to be able to tell these stories in such a winsome way and in a way that's pro-life in the happiest and most joyful way possible.
As the writer for this project, tell me about the stories that that you found and are now sharing on eyesoflife.org.
Yeah, we have quite a variety. You know, everything from a single mom getting pregnant in college and being encouraged to abort her child and choosing not to do that, choosing to keep her child and to raise him, even though it's not been easy. You know, we have that story all the way to the story of Dr. Norman Nagel, who's a well-known professor and a teacher, but who suffered a stroke and who, you know, for all of society's intents and purposes, doesn't have a lot to offer anymore because he's paralyzed, he's in a nursing home. And so we get to kind of span that whole gap there, everything from little children who matter to even older folks. And I think the thing I've realized in speaking with these people and being able to share their stories, just how human they are. I love getting to talk to, you know, we interviewed one little boy who is about 10 years old, and his mom was not able to keep him. She gave him up for adoption, but he recognizes the fact that she could have aborted him. He's so grateful that she didn't. But in that whole conversation, he's talking about Legos and his little brother and what his favorite foods are. And so you realize these are very normal people in sort of extraordinary circumstances, but they're people just like you and me who have these amazing stories to tell. And so you start to look at everybody around you truly with eyes of life because you realize these are just average, ordinary people that the Lord preserves, that he saves, that he's given this journey to. And so it's changed for me just how I view those around me because you never know. The person next to you might have undergone something that you have no idea, and you get to ask those questions, meet those people, and find out those stories. It's such fun. Hmm.
What impact has this had on you as you've learned their stories and helped write their stories to share?
I think it's had a big impact on me in that I realized how important this conversation is to have. It's easy for us as pro-life folks to sort of sit back and say, well, You know, abortion is legal in the United States. There's countries where euthanasia is fine. This is just the way things are going. What am I going to do? What's one person going to do to change that? And as you hear these stories and you hear from people who have read them and have been impacted by them, you realize how much this conversation matters. I heard from one woman on Facebook, and she said, you know, I have a story of getting pregnant while I was in high school, and I gave birth to my son, and very few people know my story. But in seeing this campaign and in seeing these other stories, I'm ready to tell my story after, you know, 35 years of basically living in silence. So you start to realize that that now is a really good time to speak up for life. We have a young pro-life generation. We have an opportunity to make a difference. We have an opportunity in our government, in our church, in our homes to speak up for these things and to be articulate and winsome and caring in how we do it. And I think that's become even more apparent to me as I've told these stories. But there's really no just sitting around on your hands anymore saying, well, I'm just one person. I can't make a big difference. You can. You share your story. You hear those stories. You speak about those stories. That all makes a difference. And it's been good for me. It's been good for my family that we can have these discussions. And I'm hopeful that it's having that same impact on the church and anyone reading those stories as well.
Why, you mentioned that now is the time to speak up on these very important topics of life. Why is this the time? Why is this time to tell the stories of life?
Well, it's always time to tell stories of life, for sure. But I do feel like we have a generation who is beginning to say, you know, my parents were maybe okay with this, or what happened when Roe v. Wade was legalized? People were okay with it then. And the longer we go on and we see the people who are hurt by these issues, or the people who have suffered as a result of not being pro-life, we're not okay with that anymore. And it's intriguing to me that we see even people who aren't Christians realizing that this is not something that they're comfortable with, that life has innate value and it has worth, and people deserve to be treated as more than just blobs of tissue, or people who may be suffering at the end of life, that we can simply disregard them and say, well, they have nothing they can contribute to society, and so we can simply do away with them. It's fascinating to me to watch that change in our young people. And sometimes it takes our young people standing up and saying those things to teach those of us who are a bit older that it is good, and that we can sort of renew that desire to share those stories. So I think just across our church body, across our nation, these conversations are sort of bubbling up, and people are, you know, standing up to have them. And it's fun to be a part of that. It's exciting to think of what might occur if we continue to talk about these things, and especially to do so in a way that, I'm not even sure how to put it, other than to say pro-life, in a way that's just pro-people, rather than in a way that's dragging people down or being against things, that we can have these conversations in a way that's constructive and helpful and instructive to people too.
What do you hope will be the clear message from this project in our culture? What will be the significance of this project in our culture today?
I hope that we hear more stories. I think absolutely every person out there has a story of life to tell. And this campaign has the opportunity to stop them for a second, help them to pause and take a breath and to say, wait a minute, I have eyes of life too, and maybe I hadn't even thought about it, or maybe I didn't even realize it. And maybe those eyes of life thoughts aren't something that particularly happened to me or to you, but that we know people who have been through situations and come out the other side in such a way that has spoken highly and well of life. I think when we take that breath, when we pause for just a moment, when we really think through that, we can see that because our Heavenly Father has regarded us as having value and worth, everybody around us has that same value and worth, and we maybe haven't even taken the time to stop and think about it. So my hope is that as people read these stories, they don't just say, oh, wow, look at all those people who have had really amazing reasons to stand up for life, but that they say, look at those people. I'm just like them, and I know people just like them, and I can share that story too. I think it's really easy for us to want to be silent because it can be hard in a culture and a society that aren't pro-life to want to just keep quiet. It's easier sometimes not to try and fight that battle or to just kind of go with the flow. And I'm praying that as people read and share these stories, that they will realize I have those words on my own lips and in my own heart that I can speak of what Christ has done for me with regard to life and what he's done for those around me. So I'm hoping it's kind of a snowball effect that once they read those stories, we'll just keep rolling and we'll hear more and more, because I firmly believe everybody's got a story that everybody can explain through the lens of having eyes of life.
There are certainly some stories already on eyesoflife.org. How can others go about sharing their Eyes of Life stories?
Sure. On the Eyes of Life website, like you said, eyesoflife.org, you can click in a variety of places where it'll say share your story. And it'll give you an opportunity to put your name in and to share that story, to share an image of your Eyes of Life, to be able to contribute to that. And I think that's really what's going to make this campaign. We have some beautiful stories and some beautiful images on the website right now that our department has worked to get those images and those stories. But I think once the stories of, people who read, people who are in the pew, people who are interested, once those start rolling in, I think that's going to be really fun to see, because there are millions of stories out there we don't even know about. We're going based off of stories we've heard or that we've heard about from other people, and we're anxious to hear people tell their own stories. I have to believe there's thousands of beautiful life and pro-life stories out there, and we're anxious and we're ready to hear them. So we would gladly receive those and be happy to share them around. And that takes some work on other people's part. You know, the people who have told their stories, they're often difficult to tell. They're immensely personal stories. Once you've interviewed them, you can tell by the time you're done talking to them that they're oftentimes just mentally exhausted because these stories are so personal and close to their hearts. And those are often the best stories. They're the ones that are most freeing to the people who have told them and who have the biggest impact on the people who get to read them. So it's my gentle encouragement to anyone listening who's pro-life and got a story to tell. Please send it in. We would love to hear it.
Adrienne Hines, Managing Editor of the Lutheran Witness, thank you so much for being our guest and sharing with us about the Eyes of Life project.
Well, thank you for spreading the good news and for having Eyes of Life yourself.
It's the perfect time of year to move to sunny, affordable Central Florida. Join fellow Lutherans at The Landings at Lutheran Haven. Known for comfortable retirement living since 1948, The Landings are brand new villas from the mid-100s. Enjoy carefree living that includes meals, housekeeping, and a full continuum of health services on campus. Live and grow with Christ at The Landings. For information, phone 888-298-5590 or visit lutheranhaven.org/KFUO.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. In studio with me, Eric Lunsford. Eric, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Andy. It's good to see you again.
I always enjoy talking with you. I wish we could show what you do in picture. Well, we'll include some pictures with today's program. Some lovely images. Eric, tell us a little bit about your work with LCMS Communications.
Oh, you know, Andy, I get to tell stories with pictures, and I love it. And really, I love when someone comes to me and says, you know, I didn't know that the church did that. Oh, that's a great compliment, because, you know, you've reached them and they say, wow.
What's an example? Really cool. An example.
Oh, wow. You could be anything from well work in Malawi. It could be new missionary work in Kenya. you know, where you have a new MMT, or you go to one of our children's centers, one of our Christ Care for Children Kenya sites. And it could be visiting a missionary in Peru, or it could be in our own backyard. And that's great, seeing how the body of Christ is here and showing those stories is just phenomenal.
Well, it certainly is a unique work to be able to share and tell these stories in pictures. The work of the body of Christ in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and our partner churches around the world, what's happening, what's going on with them, and you capture that so very well in your images, in your photos, and I appreciate the work that you do to tell those stories so that so many of us can learn more about what's going on in the church. Now, most recently, a really unique project that you've been collaborating with others on, the Eyes of Life project. Tell me about your role in Eyes of Life and how you got involved in this.
That's a great question. You know, Eyes of Life is a conversation of life from the moment of conception to death. And, you know, it's all about being in God's hands and all about being in God's time. And because, you know, see, in Christ alone, as I talk about this project, you're going to see how in Christ alone, he gives us the eyes of life. So Eyes of Life is a new social media campaign. And this is a really great way of telling, you know, starting a conversation about life and asking to share stories. And my role here has been to make photographs and portraits of folks who have shared their story with us. You know, why do that person or that family have eyes of life? So I chose a portrait project, very classic, timeless, black and white. I really wanted to just strip away a lot of the, you know, it's not really any kind of periphery, but I just want to strip the photograph down to its core essentials. And so that way the reader and the viewer really engages with the subject and says, I can see those eyes. And I understand, and maybe someone in my family has that too, and I can relate to that. And so that's how I wanted to try to show that photographically. It's been an absolute blessing telling these great stories of people.
To get to know them, to capture those images, how do you begin, you know, a photo session with the folks that you, the images that you've already captured?
Well, Adrian Hines and I have been working together and to tell these stories. And when we make contact, and we always ask, you know, that's the best thing. Is we want people to feel comfortable to be a part of this. And when I call them, I like to just start with a conversation. I want to know, what is their story? And let's talk about it. And then I take that when I come out and I photograph, I say, can I come out and make this picture of you? And when we come in, we shoot together. You know, I set up a white backdrop, so it can be a little intimidating. And for me, I always don't want it to be like that at all. I want it to be super comfortable, laid back and casual. And I really want to get a sense of who that person is photographically that also tells that story. So it's just a matter of just kind of opening up with each other and really building a great relationship to make that photograph so they know that their story is being told in a dignified and respectful way. And I'd want that for anyone, including me, if I were a part of that.
Is that the essence of the difference between a photographer and a photojournalist?
That's a great question. You know, photojournalists often, you know, especially coming from a news background, you're kind of a jack of all trades. You have to kind of know how to do a lot of different things. And there is definitely some differences between a specialized portrait photographer, a news photographer. In my case, having a background in news, I was able to really do a lot of portraiture. And I love great creative portraiture in a great way that it isn't all about the photographer. You know, I really want to kind of take myself out of the picture. You know, I often use a lot of humor. I say, I'm just pressing a button today. You know, I'm pressing a button or something. I think it's great when people know that you're genuine and they are comfortable and sharing that. Because then they open up, and you as well as a photographer open up too. And that kind of really leads the way to making those great photographs.
What was it like to share at the National Youth Gathering, the LCMS National Youth Gathering, this whole new project, the Eyes of Life campaign? Was this your first time speaking at the National Youth Gathering, I believe?
Yes, it was.
First time speaking in front of 25,000 people?
Oh, yes, it most certainly was. And you know, Andy, I don't shy away from talking in front of folks. You know, I teach occasionally. I taught a lot more. My travel schedule makes it hard now. But I love teaching the missionaries and talking about photography and getting in front of people doesn't bother me at all. It's great. But 25,000 people approximately is a lot different.
It's a whole stadium, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit larger than a classroom. So, you know, you first came into this thinking, yeah, this will be fine, no big deal. And then you come up to this and you realize, okay, let me just practice this and practice this and practice this and practice this. And here's the best part. I prayed about it. It's like, Lord, this is a lot bigger than a little class. And the thing is, my class is at 8 a.m. in the mornings occasionally, and those kids are often sleepy. And so you have to rely on your own energy to wake them up. And here, I mean, the energy is in the room. So the best part is you practice this, and then I got up, and I don't remember anything I said. That all.
That's right. We have video. What was it that you wanted the, you know, these 20-something, you know, or the 20,000-plus youth to walk away with from your message at the National Youth Gathering?
I wanted them to share their story. You know, I wanted them to know what Eyes of Life is. You know, we had a really great performance by Erin Bode and the musician. She created this really wonderful song. I just wanted to kick it off and say, hey, everyone, Jesus gives us eyes of life. You know, he had compassion on the people. He wept at the death of a friend. And in him, we have those eyes of life. So eyes of life, you know, it could be, you know, like I said, it could be at the, you know, people can march. That's their story. They can come with the March for Life, right? It could be someone in their school or part of their family. But we want to know their story. We want them to share. And we'd love to hear that. And that's what I want to get across. I think I did that.
As you capture these stories, as you capture these individual stories through pictures, how has this project had an impact on you? As you've learned their stories and sat and visited with them and then captured the images as well, how has this impacted you, Eric?
I love that question. It reminds me, no. It's always a continuing privilege to be a part of people's lives and tell that story. It's a really incredible gesture that someone gives you access to in their life, even if it's just for a really small amount of time. And I take that with such incredible joy and honor from folks who have let me do that. I always get kind of emotional thinking about that because really it's so important. So Andy, I'm sorry, you're going to have to ask that question.
How has being involved in this project affected you? Obviously, the opportunity to visit with these individuals and learn their stories and why life is important to them, what's been significant in their lives that have helped them see the value and the importance of life, how God gives this precious gift of life and what it means to them and how they communicate that to others. You have an opportunity to sit down with them, learn their story, and then also capture these beautiful pictures to help tell that story. What does it mean? How has that impacted you? Obviously, somewhat emotionally. You're not just coming in and doing a job. There's more invested in this.
To witness someone say, you know, I was almost kind of forced to have an abortion, and I see that God has forgiveness. And I asked a question, could you show me what that looks like? And to see that, and someone see the hope and the joy that God has brought to their life and that forgiveness, it continues to impact me as a Lutheran Christian and know that we are all in the body of Christ and that we have such joy as a community together, as sinners but to always be covered in Christ's blood and forgiveness is so incredibly impactful. It reminds us how powerful God is, works in our lives and through people for each other.
As you have been involved in this, being involved in this project is certainly clear about what you believe regarding life too. This is not just about a job. This isn't just about taking great photos. This is who we are as Lutherans. What do you want for this next generation? I mean, you have a growing family. What do you want your children to know when it comes to life? How are you, you know, using something like this, like the Eyes of Life, to help your children learn what God says about life?
I want them to know that in Christ alone, it's He who gives us these eyes of life. You know, eyes that, you know, in a world that's often kind of covered in darkness and death and through things like abortion and euthanasia and death and all of its kind of shapes and forms and of darkness, that, you know, that there are people who are standing tall. I mean, specifically members of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who stand tall. I mean, there are people who stand tall and they say, hey, you know what? We have eyes of life because Christ gives us eyes of life. And, you know, it's easy to get beat down, but to know that in His love we're given that, and that God is, He's in control.
In visiting with these individuals, and there are more to be included in the Eyes of Life campaign, but the ones that we've started off with, what are some of the stories that have stood out for you? You shared, you know, I believe it was Jean Amundsen's story, mm-hmm. of coping with the guilt of an abortion in her, you know, earlier in life and younger life, but now experiencing that forgiveness. Are there other stories that have, I mean, there's something in each story that stood out, and obviously that you've shared through your photos. Any that come to mind now that stand out for you?
Oh, you know, Andy, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think each story has a wonderful quality to it. And I love everyone that I meet and get the chance to tell those stories. Is, you know, I think about Jean, like we talked about, and our wonderful conversations, and I think about, you know, a pastor I actually just photographed with his family that you'll come to see very soon, and being able to see the joy, you know, this one pastor we're going to be talking about soon about adopting, you know, all these wonderful girls, keeping them together as a family. You know, to see a young woman who, you know, in college had a, you know, kind of an unplanned pregnancy, and boy, now I get to see her on Facebook, and she's like, my boy brings me so much joy. I'm so happy. And when she wrote about Christ and in her life, it's just incredible. I think, Andy, each one of these stories, I don't know that I can make one that I feel is, you know, stronger than the other. I think they have such wonderful, you know, importance in how they communicate their own story to other people. And I think that's what's going to be really great, is seeing how people respond. I think some stories are going to sit differently with different people. And I hope that maybe through one of those stories that they see, wow, you know, that really had an impact for me. You know, and when they look into those eyes of life, I'm, you know, when I brought that kind of stylistical piece to the whole campaign, I would hope that communicates that.
How can people now be a part of the Eyes of Life campaign? What are the ways that we can join in?
Oh, what, you know, head to the website, eyesoflife.org. That's the one thing, Andy, I haven't forgotten. I know from my presentation to the youth gathering, I was like, okay, don't forget the website. Don't forget how to get
And the hashtag.
Hashtag Eyes of Life, which I have to say I have a really cool t-shirt out of. So it can say that I did get the t-shirt.
I didn't get one yet.
I know. They're really exclusive.
I know. I'll get one eventually.
They, I mean, they, you know, if, I guess you got to go up there and talk about it. And you do get the free t-shirt.
So visit the website, eyesoflife.org. Yeah. Use the hashtag. Search for the hashtag in social media, Eyes of Life. But for others to tell their stories too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. At the website, we got a way for you to share your story on there. We want to hear it. We want to know, you know, what is your story? How does Christ give you eyes of life? And that's, I can't wait to see that. I truly love to see how people say, I have eyes of life because of this. I have eyes of life because of that. My family member says, I love that. I want to see it. It's good stuff.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful photography on the website as well. I love how you tell these beautiful stories. Great team working on this, and thanks so much for doing your part in Eyes of Life Project. Eric Lunsford, thanks so much for being my guest.
Andy, it's a tremendous blessing as always, my friend. I always love being here.
Deep friendship survive a love triangle? On the next Adventures in Odyssey, Whit and Jack continue their story of how they both met and fell in love with the same girl. It's a story of broken hearts and unrequited love as Jack discovers Whit and Jenny's true feelings for each other. How will Jack react? Find out in part two of The Triangle on the next Adventures in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO.
He sees her with eyes that knew her before the day she was born. He set her apart and he lives in her heart. He's made her his own. Lights are coming on, brighter than I've ever seen, like a symphony. On and on.
the side of life has just gone wrong. You can see in his eyes a shining that's brighter than ever before. With a hope that's alive and a faith that will carry him all the way home. Lights are coming on, brighter than before the moment the sun comes up, the waiting is a warning, the start of something good. And he said that it was good.
KFUO, the messenger of good news. And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." KFUO, the message is clear.
Pastors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers few." If you are a pastor with a Master's of Divinity degree, under age 42, and hunger to make a difference, the church needs you, a shepherd of Christ, a chaplain in the United States military. To find out more, go to lcmschaps at lcms.org or Facebook, Ministry of the Armed Forces.
From the first day, right from the beginning, we all light up something so befitting, the start of something good. And he said that it was good.
I'm Andy Bates. In studio with me today, Aaron Bodie. Aaron, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here at KFUO today, talking about the Eyes of Life campaign. Aaron, share with us, first of all, a big fan of your music, love your music, especially your hymns, your recording of hymns
Thank
that
you.
We get to share here on KFUO all the time. Share with us a little bit about your background as a musician. When did music begin to be a significant part of your life?
Well, it's from a very early age. Mm-hmm. As you may know, my dad is a pastor. Mm-hmm. He's pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in Hutchinson, Minnesota. And so ever since I can remember, you know, we've been singing in our house. We would have devotions after dinner and we'd always sing hymns. And I think the first time I knew that I really wanted to be a singer or performer was when I was 3 years old. It was before I was in school. My older brother, Chris, was in a musical in Minneapolis. He was in A Christmas Carol at the Guthrie Theater. And because I wasn't in school yet, I would come along mm-hmm. with my mom and my brother to go to rehearsals. So I got to see the backstage and the behind-the-scenes kind of atmosphere of being in the theater. And I remember just feeling that passion just kind of ignite. I was hooked. And I knew that that had to be a part of my life from then on. And then when I was 5, I joined the Cherub Choir, which was also momentous, and I'm so glad.
And now, recording artist and performing great music, and the neat thing about your music is you're not locked into one specific thing. I know jazz certainly is your strength, but you have this beautiful CD of hymns as well. How do you choose the music that you perform?
Well, it can be difficult to kind of figure out what you're going to do next and spend the time necessary to kind of make it the way you want it to be. But yeah, like you mentioned, I have a jazz background. So I studied, well, I studied classical music in college, but sort of veered onto the jazz road somewhere along the way. But I've been writing for the last, I don't know, 15 years or so. So I kind of just see what comes out. And, you know, I love so many different kinds of music that I just try to, you know, express the different feelings that I want to in the songs that I'm choosing in the best way that communicates the the meaning of the song. So I try not to limit myself, but at the same time try to really, really do the best I can at everything we choose to do.
How is music a part of who you are as a Christian? How has music supported you in your faith? How has it helped you express your faith? How does it help you confess that faith in Christ?
Yeah, well, I mean, as I mentioned a moment ago, I grew up singing church music, and I think it just is a natural, it's a very natural way to express one's faith. There's so much beautiful music written for God. And I think that it's so inspiring to be able to express yourself that way. I think that words and music together are their own language, and they're kind of a heightened experience when they come together so nicely. And I think that music is one of the most effective ways to communicate faith, because everybody understands the language of music. And so sometimes, you know, maybe just telling somebody about God might seem not as effective, but when you share that experience of music together, there's, I think, it makes an impact.
Sure, there's something engaging about music. And also, not only engaging for the moment, but it helps us retain it and carry it with us.
Absolutely. You remember it. It stays with you. And because what happens when you're listening to music is you're feeling emotions, and those emotions stay with you.
Well, speaking of music and faith and emotions, your involvement with the Eyes of Life. Tell me about when you first started working on this and writing this piece for Eyes of Life, this song.
Well, I was so thrilled when they asked me if I would be involved in this project, because it's such a wonderful subject to write a song about. It was a big undertaking and a big challenge. You know, there were a lot of things that they wanted to, you know, have talked about. They had some really wonderful stories that they had gathered from different people they'd been talking to. And so I felt a real responsibility to try to communicate some of those stories within this song. But it was wonderful. It was, you know, there's so many things I learned by spending that much time working on this song and getting to meet some wonderful people and just hearing their stories. And so it's been a really fun project to be a part of.
Take us to help us kind of picture where that composing happens. What do you have to set the scene for you to sit down and compose, to start writing this, the lyrics, the music? Where's your go-to place? What do you have to have in your environment when you're doing that?
Well, it usually starts with just a little spark of inspiration. And in this case, that was literal. My mom sent me an email, and I think it was just around the time that I was asked to do this song. She sent me an email with a video clip, and it was the story of a scientific lab somewhere. I don't know if it was in the UK or in the United States, but they had been doing a study for the last 5 years on embryos. And at the moment that they are fertilized, there is a spark of light that happens. And so they had this video taken under a microscope of embryos at the moment of fertilization and conception, and they were bright like lights. And I thought, that is one of the most incredible things, and it makes so much sense. And so immediately when I was kind of, you know, mulling over that idea, I had this line come into my head from the first day, right from the beginning, we all light up. It's something so befitting the start of something good. And he said that it was good. So I just, that kind of became the intro to the song. And then from there, told some different stories about people and the situations that they find themselves in, and how precious and valuable life is, no matter what we go through. So.
Wow. That I didn't even read about that. That
it's research. An incredible story. Yeah. I think that everybody in the department has a link to that study. We should make it available for people to see. It's really incredible.
And so you also had these other stories from some of the Eyes of Life projects. Some of these other stories to read through and hear their stories of life as well, and they became a part of this song as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it like to read someone else's story and incorporate it and make it part of your own in this, this songwriting process?
Yeah, I always kind of feel like if you're going to try to write about somebody that you don't maybe know very well, it's best to kind of listen to their story and then kind of remove them specifically from it and try to just tell a story that might be a little more broad, so that people can, when they hear this, they can relate to it themselves. So there has to be a little window for people to kind of insert their own experience into it. So I kind of, thought about a lot of people that I've spoken to and heard their stories and kind of tried to grab some little details and insert those into the song.
Is that what your goal is, to engage by helping someone identify with one of the people in this song?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most effective parts about putting lyrics to music is when somebody hears something that allows them to immediately relate and imagine themselves in the same situation. You become part of the song when that happens. I some of my favorite music is by Paul Simon. I love his music so much. And he has a really wonderful way of doing that. He'll paint these scenes that you can be part of, that you find yourself looking around and seeing the images that he's describing, and you become part of it. And that's what I think makes for a good story.
And that's what we try to do here, too, you know, in our conversations. We want to paint that picture for the listener so that they, too, can be a part of it. And be a part of that experience. What, through this the Eyes of Life campaign, the project, what has impacted you most as part of the project?
Well, I think trying to tell the stories of some of these wonderful people that they've been talking to, and I think just it's really kind of given me an extra added appreciation for life. I know it's a very broad thing to take away from it, but I really, you know, I've spent so much time thinking about how precious it is. I, you know, talked to a lot of friends and family and just kind of got their perspective on what, you know, what's important to them when they think about the issue of life. And that's really, really broadened my own perspective on it. And I think that's something that I'll always cherish, that I got to have this experience.
Tell me about sharing this song the first time at the National Youth Gathering.
Yeah, it was really great. When we were planning the song and talking about what we wanted to have happen, they mentioned the possibility of performing it at the Youth Gathering, and I was totally on board with that because it's such a fun event. I went when I was in high school, between my freshman and sophomore years, and it was in New Orleans. So it was great to be back in the Superdome with all the kids, and they were wonderful. I mean, everybody we met, of course, at the Youth Gathering was fantastic, and they were all having a wonderful time, and it felt like a really small group, despite the fact that there were 25,000 of them, because everyone was so friendly, you felt like you knew them. But they were really receptive to the song, and it was just really, really fun to get to perform it for them.
Who do you want? I know you want everyone, obviously, to hear this song. Who is that one person that you really want to hear this song?
Well, I would hope that somebody who's really maybe questioning, you know, how important life is. You know, we kind of address different life scenarios. The first verse talks about a family who was very desperate to have a child. And when they did have a child, the child was born with some kind of disability or an illness. It's not too specific, but we were thinking about a few different cases when we wrote the verse. But and the second verse is about a teenager who's really troubled and, you know, really struggling with life and the burdens that come with it. And the third verse is about a person later on in life and struggling to see if, you know, with a diminished quality of life, if it's really as valuable as it used to be. And I hope that it'll just touch people wherever they are and give them a little bit of perspective on what an incredible gift God has given us in life and how he sees us the same throughout our lives. It's just as precious from the day we're born until the day we die.
Now we have this great song we can share, and we have all the photos, the stories as well. What's it like collaborating on a project like this? I mean, I know you're a musician, you work with other musicians. What about working together on a project like this? What's this been like for you?
Well, it was really fun. I mostly wrote it with my husband. Mm-hmm. So we checked with different people along the way. Our cellist, Tara Santiago, she played on the recording, and she's a real integral part of our group. And so we worked on it with her to get the music and the parts just right. And then we put together a really wonderful team and recorded it in Nashville at a great studio called Blackbird Studios. And we recorded it with an engineer who I had just worked on my album that I released late this last spring. His name is Neil Capolino. And so he was wonderful to work with. He's a really, really wonderful guy. Really skilled in what he does. And a guitarist named Todd Lombardo played guitar. My husband played bass, Tara on cello, and then a good friend of mine who's an incredible singer and one of my idols, Suzanne Cox, sang some harmonies with me. So it all came together so smoothly. We went down there and we stepped in the studio. We recorded it in a few hours, and then we made a video, and then we were done. It just went without a hitch, the whole thing.
That never happens.
It doesn't often happen. So we kind of knew we were in a good place.
Working in radio, I know that doesn't always happen.
It doesn't
very
always
easily,
happen. So that's, I know.
Thanks be to God
yeah.
for that.
Yeah, we definitely felt that.
Well, it's a beautiful piece, and looking forward to sharing a little bit with our listeners today. Mm-hmm. We'll do that here in just a little bit. And thank you so much for your work on this project and for sharing it with us. For that young person who is a musician, aspiring musician or artist, what's your encouragement to them? I mean, you've taken the gifts and talents that God has given you and used them in a career that it appears you enjoy very much. Mm-hmm. What's your encouragement to that young person who's thinking about, I don't know what I want to be. This is what I enjoy. Mm-hmm. I might like to be a performing artist or a recording artist, but I'm not sure. What's your encouragement to them, especially that young Christian person?
Yeah, well, I would say it's definitely not easy to do it on your own. And surrounding yourself with supportive people that have a similar goal to yours is a really, really important thing to keep in mind. My husband, obviously, I'm very blessed to have a husband who does the same thing that I do and who is really talented and talented in ways that I am not. So together, I think we work well. But we also have a band manager, and that's been a really, really important thing. And she's just a friend of mine. She doesn't manage any other bands, but having somebody who really loves what you do, believes in you, and has, you know, the tenacity to kind of go out there and speak on your behalf, mm-hmm. that really makes a difference. And then, of course, other musicians that you plan to work with. You know, I think that might be one of the most difficult things is finding a group of people that you really relate to and that share that same goal or message in mind when making music together. So I would say if you can kind of course, hone your skills, mm-hmm. be as good as you can sure. be at what you love to do and what you're most gifted in, but then start assembling your group, the people that are going to help you along the way. And then you have more than one brain kind of working things out too. That's good. Always good.
Erin Bode, thanks so much for being my guest today on Faith and Family and being a part of the Eyes of Life project.
Thank you for having me. Lights are coming on.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.